Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Are you happy to be in the house of God?
Yes.
Praise God. You're going to be very glad that you came to church this morning, and the devil did a great job of stopping people from coming this morning. Not a good thing. But, okay, so let me open up in prayer, and then we will hit the ground running. This is a very unusual morning for me. I want this to stay on the message. This is a very unique morning for me. It's a prophetic morning. I had prepared the message, and God completely changed it yesterday afternoon. And I had to hurry up and catch up with him. I've been praying for God to speak to me. I bind counterfeit spirits, counterfeit leading. I want to bring you exactly what you need. This is a very critical hour for the body of Christ. There's a lot going on right now, people, that we're not even aware of. God is dividing the sheep from the goats. God is actually bringing judgment to his house to get us all ready. Amen? And so we want to be able to stay in the path with God. So, this is going to be an interesting message. It still has to do with faith completely, but let's see where God takes us, because I am like in unsure footing right now. I've never been like this when I get up here. I know exactly what to do. I know what God's given me. This is very unusual, and I am anticipating that God's going to take over the message here and there to really minister to us. Amen? But if you only knew the struggles that I had last night, this morning, and then the people that didn't show up, the devil is angry. And you're going to be very glad that you came. Glory to God. So right now, I'm experiencing something very unusual in swords. So people are experiencing affliction and trials, and some of them are literally a matter of life or death. And God, in when people turn to us, which we will always be here for you, to pray for you, to help you, to walk it out with you, that's what we do. That's how Bill and I operate as ministers. We don't have secondary and third and fourth people that take care of you. We take care of you. We try to help you. But I have been experiencing a very interesting phenomena that I've never experienced before in ministry. And that is that when I am ministering to people, or I am trying to help people, or Pastor and I together are doing that, there is a kickback from the people. If I say, we need to go in this direction, it's not received. Or there's like a friction. Sometimes I have to bring correction and it's not received, or it's challenged. And I've never experienced this before in this church, and I'm experiencing it now. I want you to be aware of it, because the devil is beyond your imagination shrewd. We cannot possibly take this guy on. He has deceived the nations for centuries, and we are no match for him. So you have to understand that the devil operates on a level. He knows the buttons that we have, every single one of them. He knows how to get us to turn away from God, how to get offended, how to whatever it is that we're going to do. So let me read something to you, which God always gives me several confirmations that, Eva, you heard me, just keep going. So let me read this to you in regards to, understanding. Okay, correction is going to start coming in a strong way. You know why? Because correction is nothing more than aligning us with God. We're the ones that are off. God is not off. God is right on. He's spot on. He knows what he's doing. He is pure. He is holy. He is right always.
Amen.
And what he's going to start doing is calling to your attention something that could easily stumble you right out of the body of Christ. That's how hardcore it's coming. Jesus in Matthew 24 said that in the end times, the love of many will grow cold because lawlessness will abound. We have to be careful, people, that we don't allow our love for God to get diluted, polluted, and because then we're going to be a casualty. I will tell you, well, let me read this, because we're talking about correcting. I sit under this man, and he doesn't let me get away with anything. The only reason I qualified to stand up here is because I have bowed my knee to Christ, and I bowed my knee to my leader. I receive the correction, and he is not always kind. I even double-checked with the Lord about what, you know, in the direction he wanted me to go this morning, and he had me study the fire of God. He had me study how God deals with people. And God is kind and gentle and loving when we are being obedient. God is gentle and kind and loving when we are lambs, when we are sheep. As we begin to grow up, he begins to have expectations of us, which is what any good parent should have. If you don't have any expectations for your children, they're going to stay at a very, very low level in life. Parents, can you say amen? Amen. And God is a good father. And he has an expectation of us. He has given much, and now he is expecting us to stand in our place with him. When I did the study on the remnant is what's going to get raptured. It's 1/3 of the body of Christ. The rest will have to prove their faith when everybody else is gone. Do your own study if you don't believe me. We can sit in a church, as Pastor taught us 40 years ago. You can sit in a church every day and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. You know, you can sit in the garage and say, I'm a car, I'm a car, I'm a car. Just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. And we can come to church and put on the appearance and the words and the, hey, brother, and all of that, and our heart be far from God. Everything about our walk, every time you come to church, every time you worship, every time you tithe, it is for God. We are supposed to be doing all of this for God. When you serve, you don't serve me. You are not helping me. You are serving God and his people. It is for him. It is unto him. Pastor and I could meet in a park. We don't need the tithe. God is asking you for the tithe, that you may bring it to the storehouse and he can continue to have church. But here is the thing. All of us are in a place of realigning. Why? Why do you think God has to realign us?
Because we're off.
We're off and? He's coming. He's coming. He is coming. And the word warns us in Thessalonians that just as in the days of Noah, when Noah would cry out and tell the people, the flood is coming, they would laugh at him. They were parting till he was left with only his family. I bet he pushed his family to join him in that huge ark. But we're in those days where God has become an option. God is not an option. God is God. And in this hour, he has to take that place with you. God is God. And the biggest commandment of all is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We cannot look at God, people, as our fire escape when we're in trouble. We cannot run to God because, oh, you know, I'm feeling a little weird, so I better go to church. No, we run through those doors to be with God, to praise God in the General Assembly where he shows up in a very unique way as opposed to us getting together with him alone. But in the realigning that's happening, do not resist it if it's the word of God. God calls an unbelieving heart an evil heart of unbelief. Keep your heart soft to God. frankly, after he gave me this, he told me some things about me, and he said, Eva, you're my servant. You're going to do what I tell you, and you're going to say what I tell you. I want to just be loving. But people, we are running out of time. We are running out of time. If you believe the rapture is going to happen in your lifetime, I would be doing everything I can to get ready. Let's be ready. But here's the thing about correction. I mean, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? It comes down to that, people. If he says to assemble together as often as possible, then we've got to do that. We've got to assemble. When we allow ourselves, well, it doesn't have to be today, or no, I don't have to, you know, something came up and I really need to take care of this. You're giving God, he's become an option to you. Instead of, no, we're going to bend our entire reality to God. We're going to obey God. We're going to do what God says. And that's the remnant. All of this looseness in the body of Christ, God is sick of. He's concerned for us, which is why that scripture that I'm going to read right now, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith on the earth? He's concerned for us. But now is not the time to pull back. Now is not the time to do whatever we think we want to do. This is a time to do what God wants to do. Has he been faithful to you?
Amen.
Has he been loving to you?
Amen.
Did he send you good shepherds that care for your spirit,
yes,
crossing over into eternity?
Yes.
The only reason you're here is because God has been active in your life. All God has to do is turn away for a second and you drop dead. He's faithful. He's loving. He's kind. Okay? So let me read this about correction. If you kick against anything that is the word of God, listen to this, please. Pride can feel strong. It whispers that you know best. That your way is enough, that you don't need correction. It promises control, recognition, and safety, but its power is an illusion. When the heart surrenders to God, pride loses its grip. Humility softens stubbornness, opens the soul to wisdom, and restores relationships fractured by self-centeredness. God does not need our pride to work in us. He only asks for hearts willing to yield. Letting go of pride is not weakness. It is freedom. The chains that once held the heart to fear, comparison, or selfish ambition fall away, leaving space for grace, peace, and the quiet strength that comes from walking aligned with him. The true power is found in surrender and not self-exaltation. And whenever we go into pride, I mean, I had to correct someone who is, God told me, they're one step away from perishing. And the person did not receive it well. They got offended. And I'm fighting for their life. This is how serious it is becoming. Well, we have to yield to correction if it's the word of God. When have we ever told you, except for the exception of one person, ever? When have we ever told, and that was because God told me to, when have we ever told you where to live, who to marry, you know, how many kids you can have, what job you're going to have? We've never done that to any of you. But if we bring any kind of correction, it's going to come from the word of God. Say this, I love Pastor Eva. Even if you don't mean it. Which right now I'm questioning. Okay, yes, of course. So we're going to go into head versus heart faith, part 6. Oh, I have to tell you this, and I need this to be on the CD. Hopefully people that aren't here will hear it. This is what he told me. He said, Eva, preach what I give you, no matter how the people look. He said, you're my servant. Be obedient to me and trust me. Of course, we pray, we seek God, we spend time with him. I've been spending some incredible time with the Lord. And so he told me this. He said, Evan, he said, you have to help the people align with me now because we're running out of time. Help them. And the only way to help us right now, we got disoriented people, and it's not your fault, and it wasn't our fault. The pandemic really did a job on the world, the body of Christ. But now we have to stand alert. We have to catch up to him. He's on the move. He was on the move the entire time the pandemic was going. We got to catch up to him. But that's what he told me. He said, you need to preach whatever you have to and align them back with me. So today is head versus heart. We're going to continue because it's a very, very shrewd deception that can hit us if we're not careful. Because we can be in the Word day and night. We can be in the Word all the time. We can memorize Scripture like crazy. I'd rather you have one Scripture that you understand completely that's alive to you in your heart than quoting 20 Scriptures to me that are dead to you. They're just something you have in your head. God sees our heart. And he sees the faith in our heart. And that's where it matters. Amen? Faith must be in the heart. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Luke 18:8. Ask the person next to you, do you have faith? Amen? Because the Lord's certainly asking us, do you really have faith? Amen? You know how you know you have faith? It's when you can trust God with your next breath. When you know that you know that you know, no matter what sickness comes, no matter what trial comes, you know that you know that you know that God is right there with you. Your children are learning right now who is God, and I'm in love with that message. I'm like, Lord, these are so beautiful, such beautiful truths. You know, I mean, the names of God are incredible, and that's who he is in our lives. Amen? Praise God. Faith and fear both demand that you believe in something you cannot see. You choose. I'd be taking a picture of that and putting it over my refrigerator. If you choose faith, you are choosing God. Oh, I have to tell you this. Part of what he told me was, he said, you're going to be teaching now, going forward, black and white. There's no more gray area with God. We're going to choose him or not. That's how it's going to be, people. Black or white. And what we take to God on that day when we stand before him is going to be a church that understood all these things, that understood that with God, there's no gray area. You can't say, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to love people except for my wife or except for my husband. Or except for that guy at work. He's a jerk. That's a gray area. We've allowed ourselves completely to have all these loose ends in the gray areas in our life. But this is where it starts, the black and white. If you choose faith, you are choosing God. If you choose fear, you are choosing Satan. We don't have the right to be afraid. We don't have the right to live in fear. There's no uncertainty in your life. God has told you and promised you everything. If you choose faith and to live by faith, you are choosing God. God only operates through faith. God will never use fear, not even when he says things in his word that can be alarming. They're only alarming because that's how far off we are. He just speaks the truth. But if you live in fear and you continue to choose fear, you are choosing the devil because that's how the devil operates. He moves through fear. Say this with me. Going forward,
I will
reject fear.
Completely.
Choosing fear,
is choosing Satan.
Amen. Remember that. We don't have the luxury of, I'm so afraid. Oh my God, what's going to happen? I mean, stuff's happening in the world, people. God told us trouble is coming. You don't have the right to be afraid. Is there a God?
Yes.
Is he blind?
Yes.
Is he deaf? Is he in a hospital recovering from some horrible illness that he can't help us? God is everywhere. Say, God is everywhere.
God is everywhere.
So we must start going into that reality and live in God. Stay with God. Listen to God. Amen?
Amen?
Black and white. I'm going to say this one more time. If you choose faith, you are choosing God. Honey, we got a big bill. I don't know how we're going to pay that. Stop that immediately. Father, I repent for that. Father, I choose faith.
Amen.
I choose faith. You will provide, Father. You're Jehovah Jireh. Amen? You hear about horrible news from a doctor, a diagnosis? Father, I choose faith right now.
Amen.
This has no power over me. First of all, you've given me the option of living or dying. I choose to live. I'm going to live. You have that right to choose to live, to choose life. And then if you choose fear, you are choosing Satan. That's very serious, people. How much fear don't all of us carry? It's natural to us. You hear an evil report and you panic. I mean, your kid falls down and they're bleeding. You fear like crazy. Instead of, no, God is here in the name of Jesus, Father. And going into peace, going into, train yourself to respond in faith. That is how a disciple lives. A lamb gets caught in the thickets. A lamb gets scared. A lamb gets slaughtered. A disciple, he controls his mind to obey God. And God says to be in faith.
Amen.
There are only two realities for mankind, black and white. Say black and white.
Black and white.
Say this, my walk.
With God,
is black or white.
No in between.
That's where we all live, in the in between. You got to make a choice now. To this morning is about you making a choice once and for all, how you're going to end in this life. There are only two realities for mankind. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, did you hear that? Only two realities, the reality of God or the reality of Satan. What we've done, it's too hard to follow God. He demands so much. Satan, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to follow him, so I'm going to make my own way. The in-between, where I'm not here, but I don't necessarily want to be over here either. And we've made up our own reality. We've become our own gods, people. Living in and according to the kingdom of God or Satan's hell. I know of people right now that are living in Satan's hell. Literally unleashed. Unleashed. I could tell you some of the things that I'm trying to help people with. It would scare you. I'm serious. You're either living now in the kingdom of God. What are the three laws that govern the kingdom of God? And don't answer, Pastor.
Faith, hope, and love.
Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love is how the kingdom of God operates. And if you're its citizen, you're going to obey the laws. And you're going to learn to live in faith, hope, and love. How are we living? What's in our homes? How much strife? You know, strife only comes where there's pride. That's what Proverbs literally says. If we're fighting at home, if we're still fighting, we are in kindergarten still. Strife is like, if you're a strifeful person, an angry person, you've got a tower, a core of pride existing in you that needs to die. We are to be people of faith, hope, and love. In our homes, first and foremost, where it's the hardest to be. What Pastor and I did, we were like two rams and our horns were stuck. And we would push against each other and, you know, let's see who's stronger today, you know, and we would have our little cataclysmic events. What we learned to do is just let go. He's got his issues to deal with. He's got his walk to fulfill. He's got his responsibility to God, just as I do. And if you're busy learning and growing and changing, you don't have time to be immature. You don't have time for the strife, because strife undoes your progress. There's either life or death. Deuteronomy 31:19. Have you chosen life? Because if you haven't aggressively chosen life, you're going to be living in death. You have to make a stand. You have to say, I'm going to live a life that's full of life, full of God's life. So there's life or death. There's no in between. You know what's in between of life and death? Misery. That's what's in the in between. You're not getting away with anything. Oh, man, I'm going into another depression. Oh, man, I'm really afraid. Oh, man. And we get all worked up. Why? Because we've not chosen life. Life is beautiful. It heals. It restores. It redeems. It strengthens. It empowers. It brings joy. It brings happiness. It brings peace. But you have to choose it and don't walk away from it. I choose life, Father. Deuteronomy 31:19. I have placed before you, I have set heaven. And what he says is basically this. God, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Yes, Pastor, mine.
I call heaven and earth as witnesses. Yes. Against you. But I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live.
So not only does God offer you the choice, he gives you a big hint. Choose life. Please choose life. Hey, knucklehead. If you choose life, then you and your descendants are going to live. Amen. Choose life. Never, ever, ever, ever get afraid of dying. Ever again. No matter what the doctor tells you. Never, ever again. Isaiah 46:4. Even into your old age, when your hairs are white with age, I will carry you. I will bear and I will carry you and I will deliver you. Amen. Why are we afraid of dying? Choose life and lay your stake down. The devil cannot override your choice. Amen. It's in your power. It's a God-given right to choose. But you got to choose. Most of us are coasting through our walk. Oh, we're going from crisis to crisis, disease to disease, from divorce to not divorce. We're just riding we're on the outside of what God has. Blessing or cursing? Man, our life is rough right now. We're having a hard time of it. It's bad. You haven't chosen blessing. In Deuteronomy, it literally says, choose life and blessing or death and cursing. Choose life. choose blessing. And then you're either choosing faith or fear. You're choosing it. No, you don't understand. I inherited this terrible spirit. And, you know, my mom was one of the best warriors on the planet. On the planet. You can be taught fear, but you don't have to live like that. You can choose to live in faith.
Amen.
It's a choice. Say it's a choice.
It's a choice.
It's just a choice, people. Remember this one slide? Faith and fear both demand that you believe in something you cannot see. You choose. It can't get any clearer than that, right? And then healing or sickness. I've done so much research on health because I want to help people. I want to help myself. I am aging. I'm pushing 74 soon. And let me tell you, when you hit your 60s and your 70s, it's going to be an accountability time. How well did you treat your body? How well did you take care of it? It'll come up, people. And so healing or sickness. And what they're finding out, you know, a lot of people say it was genetic. You know, all these people in my family and my clan have this, you know, and now I have it. No, 5%. Five, sometimes 10% are genetic diseases that were handed down. Most of the time, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, it's our lifestyle. And if you're a person that worries all the time, stress causes 83% of all sickness and diseases. How much clearer can that not be, people? You have to choose healing. I refuse to be sick. I don't care who around me had this or that or anything. My identification now and my genetics are coming from God. I am a born-again child of God. Becoming the new creation or staying the old, corrupted, vile man. How much have we changed? How much have we really changed? And if you're satisfied, oh, I've changed. I've really changed a lot. You're in danger because this is an eternal thing that we're going to be going through. We will be evolving and changing forever. If you meet someone that you didn't know that you knew like maybe in high school or some party person that you partied with in your 20s and they meet you and there's no difference in you, you're in trouble. You should have been growing by now. Walking in God's power or staying weak and feeble. Everything Christ did, everything, was to make us as strong as Him. We don't have to be weak. We don't have to be feeble. Oh, you know, I'm here. I'm just, you know. No. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He renews my youth like the eagles. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of fire and power in you. Overcoming or being overcome. You ought to set yourself now to overcome everything that comes into your life. Every battle, every situation, I will overcome you. I will overcome you. I will vanquish you. I will conquer you. 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith. Finishing the race or quitting. Right now, people, we're in a cocoon. The grace of God is still on us. He is still loving on us. He's still helping us 100%. But when the trials, can you bear with me if I say something right now? Three people. If we have a major earthquake right now, an 8.7, it's going to bring severe damage. How are you going to go through that? How are you going to go through that? And there is something that's going to happen that's cataclysmic when Pastor taught on Revelations, and I've heard other ministers say it, Bill, that we're in the fifth seal, which is the persecution of the church. Boy, am I experiencing persecution. And a lot of it's from believers. Persecution. And then the next seal is when the moon turns red and the sky and the sun turns dark. And it could be a massive meteorite. It could be the ring of fire, all the volcanoes. We're going to see that before. And it says immediately after the sixth seal, the Lord will come for his people. We're going to have to go through some of this, people. Are you going to be overcoming or are you going to be overcome? These are choices you need to make. Finishing the race or quitting? The wise virgin or the foolish virgin? Can I see the hands of those of you that are seriously, seriously researching and doing your best to become the wise virgin? The wise virgins, what is one thing that the wise virgins were?
Prepared.
What, Bill?
Prepared.
Prepared. They prepared. That means you need to start preparing for the Lord to return. Yeah, well, you know, we're going to go on a picnic on this Sunday, and then, you know, I got this other thing to do, and then, you know, oh, and then little Johnny got sick, so we couldn't make it. Prepare yourself for the return of the Lord. Don't let anything overcome you. Overcome everything. Amen? Bearing fruit as a servant of God or staying selfish and serving myself? There's only two paths, people. You're either serving God or you're serving yourself. When we serve God, then we end up serving others. We end up serving ourselves even in a healthy way. Staying a sheep or becoming a disciple? Have any of you seriously come before God on your bended knee and said, God, I turn myself over to discipleship with you. I want to be your disciple. If you're not a disciple, you're a sheep. If you've not made the choice, you're a sheep. What happens to sheep? They get slaughtered. Are sheep smart? They're stupid animals. They're awfully cute, though. You're awfully cute. But what Pastor and I see for people that are still playing games with God, and I'll grow a little bit, and then, oh, that was a little hard. I'll grow a little bit, and, oh, no, I'm not liking that. What we see is slaughter, a potential for slaughter. We are to be watchful. We are to be prayerful. We are to be maturing. Maturing. Being a sheep or a goat. This is one time it's okay to be a sheep. A sheep can be shepherded. A sheep can be fed. A goat just resists all of it. A goat just goes and does whatever he wants. I saw a TikTok, which, don't judge me. And this, gosh, oh my God. This sheep, this goat, the owner was trying to be really nice and play with a little, it was a big goat. And trying to talk to him. I guess he thinks it's a pet. The goat has other plans. And So he's trying to feed the, he's feeding the goat, giving him water. And guess what the goat does? The minute the guy turns around, he rams him on the behind, and the guy goes flying in the air. That's what goats do with people that are trying to take care of them. They push back. They don't like it. Leave me alone. And at the end of the day, people, please understand, one thing that Pastor and I have nailed down is your right to choose. You have every right to live the way you want, to do what you want. But what God is doing this morning is showing us what he wants. You get to make the choice. There are people right now that are sitting in churches that are going to get slaughtered today. People are going into churches and killing. This is happening in America. So being on fire for God or being cold or worse, lukewarm. Do you know that as natural and human as we are, we can see when you're on fire or not? Do you know that we can see that you are lukewarm? How much more do you think God can see that? Are we mocking God? Are we cheating God? Are we? He knows the truth of our lives. And a person that is in love with God is on fire. They are on fire. If you really love God with all your heart, you're going to be on fire. I see you guys get more excited about stuff on this earth that's going to be left behind. You're enamored with things that are going to be left behind if you go in the rapture. In an instant, they're going to be left behind. Where is our passion and our love for God? He is everything, people. And the day will come when you will stand before him. And this is scary to me. This is why I don't take anything for granted with God. He says that at the marriage feast, there's going to be people that somehow ended up at the marriage feast, but the angels will come and escort them out because they don't belong there. They don't have a robe of righteousness. And we think because we had said some magic words back in 1960 that we got it made and I'm okay with God. God is requiring your heart now. It's your heart that he's after. Being the wheat, obedience to God or obedience to Satan and the flesh. Being the wheat, which by the way, your children are learning that whenever we sin, it's absolute disobedience. When we sin, we're in disobedience to God. If you tell a lie, what does God say about the lies? Satan is the father of lies. If you yell and scream, is that a peaceful man? If you're angry? All of these things, people, have to go now. When we sin, we disobeyed God. Well, I couldn't help it. You know, God understands my life. You know, my husband, he gives me a hard time and I have to yell at him. I have to be mean to him or he won't listen to me. He won't take me seriously. We have to start obeying God. Black or white. Say black or white.
Black or white.
No more gray area, people. Gray area is, it's the lukewarm. It's the deception. Black or white. I'm obedient. I'm not obedient. Being the wheat or being the chaff, which is the counterfeit wheat. The wheat and the chaff look the same. They look exactly the same. What if you're a chaff in here that looks like a Christian? How do you know you're the wheat? Is that a chance you're willing to take? well, you know, I'll just do what I know to do, you know. I've been okay so far, and I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. I would question myself, am I the wheat or am I the chaff? People, read your Bible. Jesus is adamant about how he's going to deal with counterfeits. Man, it's like, no, Jesus is loving. You shouldn't be talking to me like that, Pastor Eva. People, read your Bibles. Jesus is not playing games. He paid with his blood. It took him a long time for the plan of salvation to happen and come to pass. For us to sit in church and have attitude and do what we want, that's not what he's looking for. And there are people, there are Christians people that are putting us to shame. On fire for God, impassioned for God, going to church by the groves on fire for God. We can't get you to be here on time. 10:30. 10:30. See, for you, this is a hotel. There was a little while where we could even get coffee. Some of you were getting breakfast over there. It's a hotel, man. And look at the hall we're living in. I mean, sitting in. It ain't no big deal. For us, God is here.
Amen.
This is holy ground to Bill and I. We show up with respect. We don't show up, have begrudging. It's like, oh my God, it's Sunday again. He sees all that, people. To us, you walk in at attention, ready to give. There was a time many years ago that Gil would tell me this. God's going to move. I know, mijo, he is. No, God's going to move because I'm here. What are you bringing to the table? What anointing are you bringing to the table? You know what? I'm just going to say it. This is why we are concerned. Is because when Pastor and I teach on Sundays, we leave here completely depleted. It takes us days to recover. You know why? Because the people are not feeding themselves. They are showing up in their lives in disaster. Feed me, teach me, help me, pray for me, do it all. This is for disciples. You show up ready to give, ready to fellowship, ready to talk to one another. Not come in, blow up, and blow out. What are you imparting? Do you pray before you come to church? Lord, can I give a kind word to someone today? Lord, speak to me. Give me something for someone. That's the church of God, people. That's the church of God. Giving our life to God completely or picking and choosing what he'll get from us. Well, you know, God, you ought to be grateful. I showed up for church, didn't I? That's how we act with God. If I show up to church, then, you know, God ought to be happy. I made it. No. Give your life completely to God. If you had been there for the women's seminar, the kickoff, in January, you would know that the reason you're miserable is not your mate, it's not your life, it's not that I was born poor, it's not that I have issues. You're miserable because you're not walking with God. You're miserable because God is not, like, fervently alive in your spirit. And we're blaming everything and everybody because we're not happy. And the whole time, it's because God, there's a part of our heart that only God fits in. You'll never be able to find anything that's going to be crammed in there to fill you. That's why people that were very famous, people that made like multi-millionaires are miserable. You can have the cars, you can have the mansions, you can have the money, you can have the friends, you can have the status, you can have the power, you can have the notoriety, you can have it all. But only God can fit in that spot. And if he's not there, you're going to be miserable. I promise you, you're going to be miserable. Only God can fill that. Once God fills your heart, then everything else that you have is an addition, a blessing. Oh my God. I mean, all of a sudden, Bill became the most beautiful, precious man on the planet to me. Why? Because God was in his place. Before that, Bill was the reason I was so miserable. I'm telling you, we're trying to live off of people. You're not meeting my needs. You're not doing this for me. You're not doing that for me. And the whole time is because God needs to take his place in your life. If you think this is hard to hear, you should be teaching it. That's hard. Helping to build God's church or siphoning people away from God. Parents, listen to me. Your children are at your mercy. It's your job to lay a standard for the children. Daddy, can we go to Disneyland on Sunday? Yes, after church. Why? We want to go and have fun. God comes first. But I want to go do this. I want to go have fun over there. It's your job to teach them that God is a priority. And God is a priority for you. Well, you know, I've worked really hard this week and I'm barely making it. Dude, I wish to God you could see 1 week of this man's life. He's operating supernaturally, putting in incredibly long hours. This Friday, he had to be on a meeting from 8 to 10 in the evening after working a very full day. Where's your standard? Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. How many times have you taught that to your clans, to your families, fathers? This is a home that belongs to God. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Be careful. Jesus said, you're either gathering with me or scattering. You better be gathering people to him and not scattering them. Oh, you know, well, it's okay. You know, we can do one Sunday. It's not going to hurt anything. You literally just destroyed the standard of God is first. It takes one time. People, eternity is a very long time. It's a very long time. Whether you make it down there or you make it up there, understand that how you're living right now is going to determine all of that. And you know what, people? I'm not saying that you need to be perfect right now at all. Start the journey. Start the journey today. Kids, sit around us. We're gonna do a couple of things. We're gonna set a couple of, well, there's standards, but you can say we're gonna set a couple of parameters, boundaries. They're very, oh my God, this day and age, kids are so savvy on psychology. I know my boundaries. So set a boundary. Number one, from now on, we're gonna be in church on Sunday. That's our time to be together as a family, learning about God, as a family. I know you spend time in the Word. But I'll be honest with you, people, if you're spending time on the Word and you think, I don't need to be in church, if you're spending time in the Word, you know you have to be in church. God doesn't contradict his Word. You know, I've been fasting and getting in the Word and praying. Then come to church. How much are you going to be able to help the service today? looking forward to the rapture by getting ready and staying on fire with absolute excitement, or fearing the rapture, or sad that your life in this world is coming to an end. You know how many young men are like, no, God can't come back. I haven't even had sex yet. What? No, I haven't had a chance to live. Be grateful that your life is going to be shortened here and you're going to get to live with God in His kingdom. This life is a counterfeit, people. The only thing that makes it real is how much we walk with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lisa, is this making any sense? Okay. And if you're not looking forward to the rapture, you don't have to worry. You're not going. Yeah. You don't have to worry. Those of us that want to go in the rapture are doing everything we can to be ready. The rapture's not just going to happen randomly. You know? I mean, honestly, people, think about it. God is just. You know? Ooh, God, I could say so much. Maturing in Christ through growth and change, or staying immature by refusing to grow or learn or change. You know what is the saddest thing to me in the world? Is to see an adult that is still emotionally immature. They get offended easily. They leave. You don't see them for weeks. It was too much. We need to grow up. If you are a parent and you're still emotionally immature, you are destroying your children. Become mature. Grow up. And, you know, because we make a living and we're burly, you know, and I'm a man and I'm in authority and I'm God's under ruler. The way you mature is through God. Through God. You can mature according to the world. There's people that are very respected in the world for what they do and how they are. And God looks at them and says, you're lost. That's mature in God. And then God gave me this one this morning, which is not on the slide. Black and white, it's either good or evil. It's either good or evil. Your life is either going to be doing good or doing evil. Jesus said, there cannot be salt water in the sweet water. If you contaminate going back and forth, today I'm good. Oh, yesterday I was bad. I was so bad. You're contaminating the water. And Jesus said, choose one way or another. But you're either good or you're evil. You're choosing to do what's good or you're choosing evil. We are the ones that have added degrees of it. Well, you know, I kind of do this, but it's not so bad. You know, and of course it wasn't my fault. It happened. No. Don't pollute. See, you come to church, you get fed. You get in the Word, you get fed. You spend time with God. It's glorious. And then you choose the very next second to blow it. You're polluting what you just filled up. Choose to be bad or choose to be good. Every day, every moment, we are choosing from these two realities. And it's based on faith or fear. I'll tell you right now, the most selfish people on the planet are the fearful people. They are consumed. Jesus calls it bondage. The fear of death, fear. The more fear you have, the more selfish you are. You know why? Because fear makes you think of you. What's going to happen to me? Oh my God. This one wife, you know, the husband got, nobody here, trust me, it's actually another church. That's the truth. The wife, the husband got intense illness. And they literally were going around telling people, this is how I know about it, is because someone from our church told me, we need to pray for them. Because they said, what am I going to do if he dies? Oh my God, we're going to fall apart. He makes all the money. What's going to happen to me? I don't know what's going to happen to me. That's what fear does. It makes you think of you. There was no, we need to get prayer for him. We need to help him. You know, call pastors, wherever they're going to church, whatever. No, it was, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the kids? We're going to lose the house. Fear makes you think of yourself. That's why God hates it. Peter, he's sinking in the ocean when he started to walk with Jesus. And literally, he started thinking of himself. Wait a minute. What am I doing? I only have one life. And the wind is blowing. And the waves are huge. Oh my God, Lord, help me. Fear makes you selfish. I'm afraid to be alone. So we cleave to the kids with our claw. You're not going anywhere. I need you in my life. Fear, the same with mates. Think about it. Oh no, you're not. You know how many people kill their mates instead of letting them move on? It's scary, people. Oh no, no. You're mine. You belong to me. I need you. And then they move on and people, oh God, help us. Every day, every moment, we are choosing from these two realities. And it's based on faith or fear. It all started with faith. How did you get born again? You believed that Jesus died for your sins, didn't you? Okay, so it started with faith. And it will all end in faith. People, what makes you think that if you can't live in faith all the days of your life, every day, we're going to miss it here and there? We're not perfect, but we're pushing at least to live 60% in faith, 40% where we're still growing and learning. But if you don't know how to live every day in faith, how are you going to die when the time comes? It takes faith. It takes faith to die properly. No matter what, if a tsunami comes, oh, bring it on. Thank God this show is over. Some of you will be trying to climb walls and trying to climb up buildings to make it. Not only that, if you don't have faith for living, you're not going to have faith for dying. And then how are you going to have faith to know that you're going to heaven? People, listen to me. This is something God pointed out to me yesterday. He said, Eva, if they are not using their faith for living, how are they going to die? In fear, in chaos, in remorse, in regret, screaming. You know, we've done many, many funerals, people. There are people who, before they die, are jumping on top of their beds. People that can hardly move. And screaming at the demons that are in the room. That were supposed to be Christians. Had they lived in faith, had they done the word, they would be so peaceful in their bed with all their loved ones surrounding them. Live by faith. When your check comes in, don't sit there and go, ah, look at honey, we're doing so good. Look at our bank book, we're doing so great. No, just say, Father, thank you for this blessing, but we don't count on this. You are meeting our needs every day. Hey, I'm feeling really good. I feel really strong. I'm going through a good health time. Don't count on that. Just say, Father, thank you that you are keeping me strong in the Lord. Turn it all to faith.
Amen.
People, if you're not living by faith, you're not going to survive by faith, and you're not going to be able to die in faith. That's very important to you. If you're freaking out and you're scared and you're like, am I going to make it? Oh, God. Oh, I'm about to go. Oh, Lord. Am I going to be with you? No. Father, I know that I know that I know I'm with you. Let us live as men of God and let us die as men of God. It all started with God, or will it end with Satan? We started with God. We were on fire for God. And that the emotional high, the honeymoon stage died. It wore off, just like in relationships. How crazy were we of one another? In love. I mean, we were bananas over the other person. We were like that when we got born again people. We were on fire. We read the word. We loved God. And then we created our own reality. I'm going to stay here where it's safe. It's too much to be with God. You know why it's hard to walk with God, people? You know why it's hard to do what I'm telling you right now? Some of you look like you're drowning. Like, oh my God, this is too much. She's crazy. I'll never do all this. You know why? It's because you are not walking with God. Your love, your gray area. You have created a gray life for yourself. You know, well, you know, I don't go around committing adultery and I haven't killed anybody. So yeah, I'm going to heaven. Says who? Says you? Oh my gosh. Okay, we're going to go just a couple of more slides. I'm sorry. This is the introduction. I haven't even started the message. First, we make a choice, then our choices make us. Those of you in limbo, those of you that are not growing, those of you that are in that gray area, I'm telling you, you've not made the choice. What did Jesus say? Be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. God, because he says, if you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. No, Jesus is loving. He's going to forgive me. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Woo-hoo! What are you like the rest of the week? How much do you think of God? How excited are you to open up your Bible or to hear the Word? I'm telling you, people, this is real. It was real when God sent Jesus. It was real when he died. It was real when he rose again. And it's going to be real when he comes back. What you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. What are you becoming? This church, if we had one word for it, it would be becoming. What are you becoming? You best not stay the same. I don't advise that at all. What are you becoming? Are you a tower? A strength? How is your testimony? How strong is your testimony? How short is your testimony? All you're going to take to God is your testimony. I have done things. Oh my God. In fact, this morning, the prophecy 2 weeks ago, that prophecy stayed on me for days afterwards. It was so difficult to give it. this message. But I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. I am becoming completely His servant. How will you end? A sheep or a lion? Are you going to end up slaughtered, or are you going to end up on your feet roaring with the fire of God? Mm-hmm.